This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum.
We call this the Leadership Forum,
where we discuss leaders and followers.
It's not a political trick.
This episode is a repeat of the live session that happens on Monday's mid-morning show with Omboy Mboro. The Leadership Forum.
Leadership Forum, only on Hope FM.
Listen and live.
Leadership at Christmas. What's the direction here? I like the title.
You like the title?
I absolutely like it.
Yesterday, we had a very, very powerful Christmas presentation by at Valley Road, Sitam Valley Road, where I attend. Very well done from where I sit.
Yes.
Professionally done.
It was great.
It was great. You were there.
I was.
You were the moderator of the service.
Yes. So I noticed. I would know it was great.
Yes. So as I was going through listening to the whole presentation and looking at the various characters, that's when this thought came to me. There are several characters and the role they played in the whole story. If you look at it from a leadership perspective, what comes out? And as I was driving back home and thinking about this, it actually captivated my heart and mind. And so I had to go and just look at these characters again now from a different perspective. We all know them from the story of Christmas. And so I thought, if these were leaders, and they are in different ways, leaders and followers, what leadership characteristics did they display? Would they exercise? And are they some things that we can learn from them? So that's what gave birth to this whole story of leadership at Christmas.
Okay.
So there are several characters, some main characters, as you'd say, key players, but others peripheral and yet making a contribution in one way or another. I listed at least 9 of them.
Ooh, leaders.
Not necessarily leaders. I call them characters or players or stakeholders or whatever you'd want to call them.
Okay.
But they are part of the story and they have a contribution. They have a part to play. So if you look at them even as leaders or just as members of this Christmas story, what part did they play and what leadership characteristics or attributes did they display in there? Remember, leadership is always two-way. They are the leaders and they are followers. So whether you look at them from a leader's point of view or a follower's point of view, there are lessons that we can learn from them. Because the 9 that I listed were Mary, Joseph, Herod, the innkeeper, the magi, the shepherds, Simeon, Hannah, all these people. What role did they play and what attributes did they display or demonstrate in, if we are looking at them from a leadership perspective? We may not go through all of them, but I thought of just picking perhaps the key ones, you know, that we are all, we always hear stories about. So if you start with Mary, Joseph, Herod, Jesus himself, if time allows, then we can go to the others. But I thought it was a very, very, very interesting thing to look at, because we sometimes don't look at them from that perspective.
Yes.
So that's what I thought we could discuss today.
All right. Actually, I have gone through the characters in the Christmas story, different interviews that different people and resource people. I've never done anything around leadership with the Christmas character or
okay.
story. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
this is new.
This is what I thought we could do today as we close the year.
All right.
And prepare ourselves for the next year.
Okay.
Yes. And the way I also thought we could do it mm-hmm. is let people contribute. What do they think?
Like, what do they think? Let's take Mary.
Yes.
So you're saying let's think and share the leadership attributes.
Yes.
We see
in Mary.
In Mary.
Yes.
Do we see leadership attributes or yes. followership? So with leadership, you're saying it's both the leader, as a leader,
if you look at her as a leader or yes. if you look at her as a member or a follower,
yes.
What attributes do you see?
All right.
In Mary.
Okay.
For example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At the end of it, shall we be saying who stands out?
I do not think that we are comparing them.
Okay.
But we want to learn from them. This is a learning experience.
Okay.
If I was Mary,
mm-hmm.
would I have behaved that way or conducted myself that way? Are there spaces where I am Mary in my workplace? You know?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because there are situations when that reason it was getting very interesting for me is a situation where you find yourself as Mary in your organization. What does that look like and how do you respond? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it is not just analyzing these people, but for me, the greater part is their application. So that if I find myself in a Mary situation in a workplace, how would I respond to that situation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would I respond the same way as Mary responded?
And then Joseph. And then the innkeeper.
Jesus.
Herod.
All those guys.
But Jesus in the Christmas story is a baby.
Yes. So what do we learn from that?
Okay.
From a leadership perspective.
Yes. Oh. Okay.
What do you learn from that?
I see.
Do you see?
Yes. Oh, he's a baby. Actually, in the presentation yesterday, there's he's supposed to have been acting a shepherd who kept saying, the king is a baby.
The king is a baby. What does that mean for the king to be a baby?
Ah.
Yes.
The king is a baby in this story.
Yes. So, think of the CEO as a baby.
Hey. Wow.
What does that look like?
All right. All the way, Simeon, Anna, the innkeeper, the Magi, and Herod.
Yes.
Yes, I have listed them.
You've listed them.
Yes, I have listed them. So let your thoughts be heard. We are on the WhatsApp line 0717-400-555. Let's hear your thoughts even as we start the discussion. 0717-400-555. You will be telling us the attributes of leadership that are demonstrated by the characters around the Christmas story. You can take Mary, Joseph, Herod, the Magi, the shepherds, the Simeon, Anna, the innkeeper, Jesus Christ himself. So take any of them. Let us know what comes to your mind when you think about them in relation to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but you can start us off, Bishop.
Yes.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Mary, because I think she's the first character in the story of Christmas. When the angels appears, I think that is the beginning of the Christmas story. So here is Mary, a young virgin girl in a village, and an angel appears to her and brings her this startling news that she's going to be with child, and this child is going to be the savior of the world, and so on. How does Mary respond, and what does that say about her, either from a perspective of a leader or just from a leadership perspective? What kind of situations would be like that for us in a work environment or in a team environment and so on. So one of the things I see is how Mary responds tells me that though she's a young lady, I don't know whether she has ever met an angel before. Most unlikely. So this being appears to you as a young person and brings you this very startling news that is beyond your imagination. Do you just accept it, or do you go and let me go and pray about it, let me go and think about it, let me go and ask friends? But for her, she just accepts it right there. And I see this as this in innovation and vision casting and so on, this is what we call early adopters. Early adopters are people, when they get a new idea, they quickly buy into it and they run with it. And Mary seems to be that kind of person. This thought has come. It's something that the Jews have been waiting for a long time. In fact, it is said that the girls of those days, they would almost pray that they would be the mother of the Messiah, following in the prophecies that had been made. And of course, this has been years and years. None of them is ever being. And then suddenly it happens to
Mary.
To Mary. So does she believe it? Does she think she's dreaming or what? But she adopts very quickly before the angel even leaves and says, "May it be done unto me as you have said," you know?
Yes.
These are early adopters, you know, people who get an idea. An idea is shared even in a team or personally, or the boss calls you to his office and says, "This is what I want you to do." And it is something that is way beyond your imagination. How do you respond? So I see that what I call risk taking. I am willing to go with this. I don't know how it is going to turn out, because the reason I put the risk is that any young girl who became pregnant outside of marriage, they would be stoned. So how do you go out there and say, "Angel has spoken to me"?
Now I am with the child.
And you expect people to believe you. So there was great risk, but which she was willing to take. And many times, that is what it takes sometimes to be able to stand out as a great worker follower, to buy into a vision, to know that, yes, there may be risk, this may not work out, but I'm willing to go with it. Mm. I'm willing to try it out. The third thing I see in Mary is the spirit of gratitude. Gratitude, she bursts into song and begins to celebrate God, and God seeing her from her lowly state.
At the point there with Elizabeth.
Yes.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
This is if you take Mary as a whole, So the spirit of gratitude, many of us do not have. You are called in, you are given this great privileged position or responsibility, which you are not quite certain about, but you are willing to go with. How do you respond? Many of us take things for granted. Maybe you've been waiting for this thing long enough, and when it comes, you just finally, you know, it has come. And many of us do not have that spirit of gratitude. Do we celebrate what has been done to us, the privileges that we have been given, the positions that we have been elevated to? When you look back, do you feel, you know, some of us feel very entitled.
Mm-hmm.
It is what I deserve. I've been waiting for this for a long time. I've worked for it. So that spirit of gratitude, again, I see it in Mary, that she's willing to move with this, even though she doesn't quite comprehend what could be happening, but she has that spirit of gratitude. As we come to the close of the year, some of us got promotions, some are getting bonus, some are getting, you know, all kinds of things. Are you actually grateful, or is it just you worked hard? My strength has gotten me here. You know, my skill, I worked harder than the others. Mary looks at herself and says, you have regarded the lowly state of your maidservant. Mm. You know, I do not deserve this, but I am so truly grateful. You know?
Yes.
So truly grateful. In these days of unions and collective bargaining agreements, and who even appreciates what God has done for us, what our organizations have done for us? It is until you lose your job that you begin to realize that that which you took for granted was actually a great privilege, a great honor for you to have.
Yes.
But many of us, sometimes we do not have that spirit of gratitude. So Mary takes a long time. In fact, if you read her song, it is quite a long song, just celebrating God's goodness, the privilege, the honor of being picked upon to be the bearer of the Messiah. And some of us have got to those places where you have been appointed the CEO, you have been appointed head of this or head of the other, and it just passes by. It's no big deal. You have waited for it. You have worked for it. You just like that. So I see that spirit of gratitude as a great attribute of leadership in whichever space you find yourself.
Amen.
So I can mention those three for now.
Oh, wow. I can see one more.
One more. Tell us.
For Mary.
Yes.
You told us to think.
Yes, we are being this together.
Most people are telling, I can see what people are saying. Most are talking about Joseph. Okay. We are yet to get
there. We are just about to come to Joseph.
Yes. But for me, Mary, I'm thinking about a small part there that tells me, I think she's also a very practical person.
Mm-hmm.
She's very practical.
Tell
in
us.
That when the angel announced what would happen, he also made reference to Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that she quickly went to see to visit with Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Because the angel says even your relative is now
6 months
into pregnancy. So I think that's something eyes can see.
Yes.
So she decides, I'll go there.
Confirm.
Yes, I know this is true, but at a practical level, let me go and see.
Uh-huh.
It's like the stories are going together.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I find that very practical.
Very practical, yeah.
Even in guidance.
true. Yes. Good. So if somebody else has a word on Mary, please tell us.
Yeah, he will tell us. Let me just repeat that number. 0717-400-555. Yes. All right. I can't see any. No, I think this one. This is about Mary, yes. I think about her humility when I think of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Mary has been chosen to carry such a divine and high role, but she remains humble.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about the triangle of leadership, environment, and susceptible followers, on followers, how much am I going to gossip my leader? For example, my leader, Mary, is pregnant and she's not married. The gossip part.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Very interesting.
Yes. And someone else who has also said she comes out as very humble as well. She had the courage to take up the role she was thrown at.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am, servant of the Lord. Ultimate response. She also empowered Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, role model, she embraced her calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it that she also empowered Jesus as a role model to embrace the calling? I think that's what the person wants to say. And
as a mother.
Yes, as a mother.
As a mother. True.
So she would model for Jesus.
And you see, like, for example, if mm-hmm. we go now beyond Christmas into the life of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you find, like, this time they went for this wedding and wine has run out.
Mm-hmm.
Mary comes out to call on her son to do something.
Yes.
Now, what I have wondered is whether Jesus may have done something in his childhood that made her believe that he has the capacity to do something even in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may not have been recorded in scriptures. What gave her the confidence that wine has run out, but my son can do something about it? That she now comes to Jesus to say, these people have run out of wine. Mm. And Jesus says, it's not my time. You know, it's like, why do you call me on this one? So I've wondered, could he have done certain things? Or was it just faith to believe this is the Son of God?
And I know.
You cannot be sitting here and people have no wine.
People are suffering.
So that molding and beginning to bring her, bring him into the public arena,
mm-hmm.
it's indeed something that Mary does. And that's the first miracle we ever...
Yes.
No, of
the miracle at Cana.
Yeah, because of her initiative.
Yes, true.
To believe in her son and to believe that he is capable of doing something. So again, from a leadership perspective, that is something that we encourage leaders to do.
Believe in your team.
Believe in your team. Challenge them to do things.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. Challenge them to do things that perhaps they have not done, or you know they have the potential to do, and they come out there and do something that is becomes record.
Wow!
Like Jesus' miracle of the wine, I think is perhaps one of the most known miracles around the
True.
World, even among non-believers.
Yes.
You know, everybody
yeah.
keeps referring to Jesus turning water into wine, but it's because Mary stirred him. Challenged him to do something. In fact, when he responds and says, it is not my time, she just walks away and say,
whatever he tells you, you do it.
You because,
do.
And sometimes as a leader, you have to do that. You have to not only challenge your members, but sometimes they are giving excuses. Oh, me, I'm not like this, I'm not that, I don't have. But you just tell them, you do it.
All right.
And you find that they excelled even beyond their own imagination because they didn't know that they have that capacity. And now they have done something that everybody is appreciating. And they didn't think that they could do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a great attribute there.
What about the attribute of Mary, a number of places where it seems she doesn't say much, but the Bible comments that she ponders these things.
Yes, in
yes,
her heart.
In her heart.
Yes, yes.
What's that for a leader?
Being reflective, and that's where, you see, good leaders are not quick to speak.
Or shouldn't.
or shouldn't, I think so, is a good word, or even to act. There are times when you need to just reflect over information you have received, situations you have observed, so that you ponder them in your heart, so that by the time you take any action, if there is action to be taken, mm-hmm. it is an informed action. It is not, you are not rash. And I think that is indeed Mary's attribute. And we see that of many women in the Bible who are confronted with similar kind of situations. They become very reflective. They ponder these things in their hearts. And it makes them great leaders in their own right. Some of us are very quick to act, quick to speak, quick to comment, quick to criticize, and so on. And sometimes in the process, we mess up the whole situation. So I agree with you that pondering is a key characteristic and attribute that many of us would benefit from.
All right.
Yes.
All right. The innkeeper. Someone is already writing about the innkeeper. I will just mention this and then you can introduce Joseph. You had wanted to go there. I find the innkeeper not aggressive in business.
Why?
Otherwise, he would or he should have made some extensions to create more room for guests, especially with the anticipation of a huge flow or inflow of guests occasioned by the censors. Rosalind, she's thinking like a business person, isn't she? Yes, so let's
go. What should the innkeeper have done? This
make extensions. I agree with Rosie.
Bring in tents.
There is a census.
Yes.
People will be coming.
Suppose he had actually done and still ran out of space.
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. That's actually a good challenge. Because some of us are so, it's just that we have run out of supplies. One of the things, I was an innkeeper a long time ago, not an innkeeper, but a shopkeeper.
Uh-huh.
I was a shopkeeper. I participated in running my father's shop in the early days of my youth. One of the practices that I saw my father do and taught us to do is that when a customer comes, our shop becomes the last stop. They don't go to another shop, even for things we don't have. So if a customer comes and says, I want this and I want that and I want the other and I want the other, and you keep bringing and keep bringing, the things that you don't have, you go to the neighbor's shop.
And get
them.
One stop, eh?
It's one stop. So they don't buy here and then they have to go to the next shop to buy other things.
Check with our next door neighbor whether they have.
Yeah.
You go for it.
You go for it. So we would be sent, go to such so-and-so's shop and get this and we bring it. Then he pays everything, then we take the money
to the other shop.
So that whoever came to our shop knew that they didn't have to go to another shop for anything.
Wow.
That's how we ran the shop. So that is...
Your father must have been doing well by the standards then, of a shopkeeper.
We were not doing badly.
Yeah, you were okay. I can just see. You
by
were
the standards
quite fine.
Of our village shop.
You were quite fine.
We were actually... My father was a supplier for the... What would I call? The... Almost a radius beyond a location, maybe division.
Oh.
Yeah, he would supply to smaller shops.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in that radius. So people who came to our shop knew they are coming to one stop. Unless it's, of course, something that is way outside of our scope. Like we were not into hardware, real big hardware, timber, Mabati and so on. So if you came for that, we would advise you to go to the hardware shop and get those. But anything that was on a normal retail shop, those ones, once you come to our shop, that's it. You will get it all there.
Mm-hmm.
We would ask you for the full list so that we are not running and coming back.
Yeah.
You
yes,
know.
I see.
So you give us the full list, this is what I want, and this is what I want, and this is what I want. Then we see these ones we don't have, so go to this shop and get this and get this and get the other and bring them. And we did business.
I think this is
what the innkeeper should have done. Then our Savior would not have been born in a manger.
And he would have made some business.
Yes, yes. So that is innovation and creativity that would come in how you do business and how you provide leadership. The things that you don't have, the skills you don't have, you get them from other people.
Yeah.
You don't have to know everything or do everything.
Yes.
Have everything.
But you can be innovative.
You can tap from.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Those people who have it.
I can't wait to hear more from the characters around Christmas, the Christmas story, and attributes of leadership displayed, whether as leaders or as followers, whether it's positive or a negative. We're looking at all of that, and we are very happy to hear your thoughts on 0717. This is our WhatsApp number, 0717-400-555. We call this the Leadership Forum. So, Bishop, I think we go to Joseph. What
Let's
do you think?
Let's try Joseph.
Let's try that.
Let's try Joseph. Now, Joseph is an... I just realized that Joseph is mentioned very little, you know. Very little is mentioned about Joseph outside of the Christmas story. And yet, this is an amazing man,
mm-hmm.
if you just think about it. You are betrothed, you are engaged to a woman, a young girl that you love, and she comes up with this wonderful story of angels visiting and getting pregnant and so on. What would you do? What do you do? And now, if I take it from a leadership perspective, you know, you are, this is one of your colleagues or a very close person that you are depending on, and they come up with these strange stories of why they didn't do what they're supposed to do and so on and so forth, or something that is new ideas that you want to get into and so on. So again, I've picked like three for each of them.
All right.
So for Joseph, I talk about caution. Joseph receives this news with a lot of caution. Because it is not making sense to him that Mary is pregnant. And so he is not like Mary ready to take a risk. So he decides, where beba mzigo? I will leave my life. So he decides, I'm going to leave this girl to carry her angelic baby, you know. I'm not going
definitely
to...
Definitely not believing that.
Yes.
Yes.
He was not believing that it is true, that this can happen. Who had ever heard of such a thing happening? So he's a very cautious person, but also respectful in a sense. He's respectful to Mary, doesn't want to bring her to public shame, and so he decides, I'm going to do this quietly. So I would say the attribute I see there is that caution and respect, because he's not understanding these stories that Mary is bringing. And there's a sense in which that is good for a leader to be cautious. Because people will come to you with all kinds of stories, all manner of things. Oh, you know this and you know that. And many of us get conned or get into very serious deals because we are not cautious. So whereas Mary is a risk taker and early adopter in new ideas and new thoughts, Joseph is the opposite. And this happens, by the way, in marriage. We are always opposite, you know.
They attract.
The opposite attracts. So Mary is very quick to receive this news and to go with it and appreciate it. Joseph is at the opposite end. Very cautious, not willing to take that risk, and even ready to let it go. You know, if that's the way you have chosen, way and evil. For me, I want to be a little more careful with this kind of thing. A good thing for a leader, but it can also cause you to miss opportunity. You know, some of us have most missed opportunity because of that, because we are too cautious. We are too careful, you know, with new ideas and new things. So it's both a strength and a weakness, just like Mary is also both a strength and a weakness. And we talked about risk. If this thing turned out not to be true, it was a risk for Mary, but she was willing to go with it. But for Joseph, it's caution and is a good thing for leadership. Be cautious, be careful, do your due diligence, find out what this is all about. That was Joseph. But I also find him as a very rational person. It builds on the same. People who are rational are also very generally cautious. They are not moved by emotions. They are not moved by just passion. A salesman comes to you and gives a very good pitch, and you buy into it. Rational people are also very cautious. But rationality is again a key attribute of leadership. Why do I say that Joseph was a rational person? When the angel appears to him in the night and tells him, don't be afraid. This thing is of God. He immediately buys into it because it's a voice that he respects, you know. It means he was a pious person. He believed in God and he believed in God's voice. So once he's convinced this is God speaking to him, he then is ready to move on. And that is rationality. As long as the facts can fit in, I am ready to move on. And I'm ready to embrace even that which looks very risky, very difficult. And that is Joseph. So rational leaders need facts and figures. They need to be convinced that this thing actually makes sense. And rationality, we talked about it when you were dealing with decision making.
I remember.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
It's one of key leadership attributes in decision making, that you try to make decisions on a rational basis. It is not the only way of making decisions. We went all the way up to gut feeling.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Where we say you may not have the facts, you may not have the figures, may not make sense, but something within you tells you this is just the right thing to do. And so you make your decision based on that. So at the far end, one end is rational, where you have all the figures have to add up. On the other end is gut feeling, where nothing
it doesn't make sense,
but you just feel it.
This thing, I feel it.
I feel it, and therefore I am willing to try it. I'm willing to go with it. And sometimes it turns out that it is true, it is correct, it was the right thing to do. So Joseph was not a gut feeling person. He was a rational person. So he was in this extreme. His wife was at the other extreme. I feel this is right and it makes sense to me. I'm ready to go with it. I'm so blessed, you know, to be one chosen to do this. The other then is selflessness. Selflessness is perhaps one of Joseph's biggest strengths. As a leader, this is not your child, you have not participated in any way, and yet you are called upon to take care and bring up. The mother is very excited because this is my child, this is my baby. Mm. But the father is an adopted father, you know, so this is your adopted child. But Joseph gives the very best. If you see Jesus at age 12 in the temple, and the way he's quoting scriptures and teaching people, many of us imagine that it was because he was Jesus. But for real, imagine that there was a father behind who must have trained him on the ways of the Lord, reading the scriptures according to Deuteronomy and what they were told as parents to do with their children. So he brings up this son in such knowledge of the Bible that by the time Jesus is 12, he can teach. He can, when he gets into ministry, he can talk to the devil, you know. And there are many devils out there, you know, who want to get you into all kinds of things. But Jesus keeps saying, no, it is written. It is written. It is written. So this "it is written" is not a revelation from above, which comes from directly from heaven. It's a lessons that he read. He must have been taught. And so he can remember that we read this. It was written. This is what the Bible says. And so I see a big role that Joseph plays in the life of Jesus, who is not his biological son. But once the angel, once the figures and the data fall into place, he is ready to run with this responsibility. Amen. As a selfless leader. It is not what I will get out of it. It is not whether this is my real child, and so on, but I just want to play my role according to the scriptures as a father for this young man, for this baby, until he matures to get to his place. And once Jesus is an adult, you don't see Joseph anywhere. And he's happy to be there in the background, only known as a carpenter. His son is being called a carpenter's son, and he's happy to be a carpenter. And Jesus was trained in the same trade. So selfless leadership, where you are mentees, get to great glory, get to shine out there, but you are happy to be in the background. I can see your face falling.
No, it is not falling. I'm reflecting. Yeah. I'm pondering.
You're pondering. Yes. These things in your heart. Not many of us have that capacity to allow our mentees
to shine.
To shine.
Outshine.
Outshine us. And you are happy to be there in the background, you know, as a leader. So they are getting accolades, they are getting awards, they are getting all these things, but you are happy to be referred to as Joseph the carpenter. You are just there in the background.
How does he become like that? In a world, how does the leader then become like that? In a very competitive, it's like a competition-based world that we live in. Yes. Bishop, thank you.
Thank you. Asante sana.
You want to wish us a Merry Christmas?
Yes. Let me wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Only six more days and we'll be there.
And we will be there.
Yeah.
And to
and
God
may the Lord
glory.
Give you a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Bishop David Oginde with us today, as well as every alternate Mondays. But today, it is for the last time in this year, 2022. We get back in the year 2023, most likely the third Monday of January 2023. Thank you for your comments, for your excited responses here and there. We are happy that you could learn, we could learn together so much on the Leadership Forum. Bishop, it's been a great year. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
That God brought us this far.
Amen. Amen. And you have a Merry Christmas too and a blessed 2023.
Amen.
My name is Wombo Imboro. Have a blessed time.
Join us next week, same time, for another episode of the Leadership Forum.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.